This is part two of an address entitled Oneness by Bicknell Young, a teacher of Christian Science. Treatment, as we have unfolded it, has brought out that the operation of divine mind constitutes the Christian Science treatment. That which is revealed by divine mind constitutes the divine principle. Quote, all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, close quote. Science and Health 468.10, is a statement of divine mind and body. That which is revealed by the divine mind constitutes the divine body. The first chapter of Genesis is the unfoldment of divine body, because it reveals the universe and man as the expression of God. We, man, know that the divine mind and divine body constitute individual being. Each one of us is mind and body. We know that this is true, first, because God manifests himself. In the study of our textbook and Mrs. Eddy's other writings, we find that body, consciousness, man, universe are all synonymous terms. In developing and demonstrating the idea body, this is necessary to know, for it makes clear that body is the idea of God and is one with him. For consciousness, man, universe, are one with God, his idea, the expression of himself. In demonstrating divine body, Mrs. Eddy speaks in the chapter on the apocalypse as follows, Science and Health 559.23. Quote, when you approach nearer and nearer to this divine principle, when you eat the divine body of this principle, thus partaking of the nature or primal elements of truth and love, do not be surprised nor discontented, because you must share the hemlock cup and eat the bitter herbs. For the Israelites of old at the paschal meal thus prefigured this perilous passage out of bondage into the El Dorado of faith and hope. Close quote. It seems, in demonstrating divine body, the student often goes from one extreme to another. First, he may believe he has a material body which he must deny, and yet, at the same time, accept the fact of divine body as something invisible, spiritual, abstract. When these two extremes fail to accomplish the demonstration of a healthy whole body, he finds that he must seek further for the understanding of it, and then finds that body is consciousness, and not more harmonious than his consciousness. Beside this, it is necessary to see that man has not got a body. He is the body of God. The difficulty in the demonstration of divine body seems to be what to do with what seems to be a material body. We cannot, of course, claim that God knows a limited, finite sense of body, and yet here is the record Jesus left us. After the crucifixion, he ate, talked, and walked with his disciples with the same body that seemed to have been crucified on Calvary. If that was the body, the crucifixion would have destroyed it, but there it was, functioning as before. What are we understanding about this? It shows conclusively that body is entirely mental. And the more divinely mental we understand ourselves to be, the more harmonious and indestructible is the body. It proves that at no time do we lose anything, but gain the true sense of that which we already are by knowing better and better the divinity of our own being. What we call our body is not confined to just what seems to identify us, but it is actually comprised of everything of which we are conscious. This is the infinite body of God. The world and all that constitutes the world is body. Hence, the need to see things as they are, the ideas of God. This is what is known as generic man, not something outside of ourselves, but the capacity within each one of us to understand the universality of being. When we speak of generic man, we do not mean many men, for the oneness of being applies to generic man as well as individual man. The more we understand generic man, that is, the more we understand the universality of being, the more generic man appears. God being one, his idea is one, that is, divine man, one body, one flower, and so forth. Here, I think the word universality is helpful. It means turn into one. That is, all things are seen as expressing one. This keeps our understanding of generic man from seeming plural. When we look out from mind, we do not see many men. We see the one idea, man, infinitely expressed, individually expressed. Oneness is the basis of generic man, the same as it is of individual man. Mrs. Eddy says, quote, "The allness of deity is his oneness. Generically, man is one, and specifically, man means all men." Close quote. Science and Health, 267, 5. Following is a statement from our textbook, Science and Health, 502, 24, in which Mrs. Eddy interprets Genesis 1, 1. Quote, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." This word beginning is employed to signify the only, that is, the eternal verity and unity of God and man, including the universe. Close quote. Webster gives this definition of the word only as one, and O and L-Y from a word meaning body. So, as Mrs. Eddy says, quote, "the unity of God and man," close quote, God expressed is man. And man is, therefore, the body of God. Man has not got a body. He is body. Our understanding of the oneness of being will never allow us to think of ourselves just as body, animated by God afar off. But this oneness of being teaches us that we are expressions of both principle and idea, or God and man. Understanding that God is our mind begins to bring into view the divine body, because it takes God or mind to know body. Man could not reveal it. Intelligence is not a quality of man. It is a quality of divine mind. As Mrs. Eddy states in Science and Health, 469.9, quote, "It is the primal and eternal quality of infinite mind, of the triune principle, life, truth, and love, named God." Close quote. In the demonstration of divine body is the exemption from all evil, because it takes divine mind to accomplish it. And thus we have perfect cause and perfect effect. A student called upon a great philosopher of olden times to question him concerning what he, the student, was. He took the young man to the window and told him to look out, saying, "That is you." Thus we begin to exchange the limited sense of body for the unlimited one of infinity, and find, as Mrs. Eddy tells us, quote, "Mortality is finally swallowed up in immortality." Close quote. Science and Health, 476-17. This understanding of body perfects the functions of the body, both in substance and capacity. In Science and Health, 258-13, Mrs. Eddy says, quote, "God expresses in man the infinite idea, forever developing itself, broadening and rising higher and higher from a boundless basis." Close quote. However, God does the expressing, not man, because it is in this way only that the correct body, idea of body, is gained. It must be this way, for this is the way of immortality. The words expression, manifestation, and reflection are words meaning body, and are synonymous because they bring out the idea of God. Reflection is one word often misunderstood. Mrs. Eddy says, quote, "Few persons comprehend what Christian Science means by the word reflection." Close quote. Science and Health, 301-5. A good expression of this word is to say, the reflection of God is the consciousness that God is all. It is the consciousness that God is my mind, the consciousness that I and my Father are one. This takes away the sense of two-ness, which often accompanies the effort to understand reflection, and is the reason we do not comprehend what the word means. We cannot gain a correct sense of reflection from a dual standpoint. It absolutely requires an understanding of the oneness of being to comprehend what is meant by reflection. Because God is the mind of man, reflection is what that mind knows about his idea, man and the universe. Putting that into practice means to be it individually. We look out from mind and know and see that mind, God, does the reflecting, not man. Reflection in this way means the activity of mind, the I reflecting upon man. Thought dwells upon or expresses an idea. This is why the activity is God, even though we see him as man.